Welcome back to the show. I'm Betsy Rosenberg, and Andrew Goldberg is on the show with me now. He is Director of Corporate Engagement with Dogpatch Alliance, and yes, they have a victory to report. It has to do with forest conservation, and it's a big one. So welcome to the program, Andrew, and congratulations.
Well, thanks, Betsy. I appreciate being on, and let me just quickly correct you. We're with Dogwood Alliance. It's a forest protection organization and based in Asheville, North Carolina.
I'm sorry, I said dog patch. I don't know why I said that. I'm just so excited with all this good news. We get Tim DeChristopher being released this week. It's Earth Day, and you have a big victory. Take us back to the beginning of this fight against International Paper, certainly one of the big paper and pulp companies out there.
Well, yeah. Dogwood Alliance has been known probably best with our calling card public campaigns. And for 10 or 12 years, we've been publicly campaigning against International Paper, which is the largest pulp and paper manufacturer in the world. They operate globally, but primarily here in the U.S. South, which is the largest pulp and paper and wood products producing region in the world. And what they have is a large impact in the woods across the South. So we've been working through a strategy to engage their large buyers, office products companies like Staples and packaging buyers like Kentucky Fried Chicken, to get them to start improving their purchasing and creating a demand for new, more responsible paper. And recently, this past year, we got into face-to-face negotiations with International Paper and got together on some things that we could agree on to work together to improve things in the woods across the South where it really matters.
That's terrific. And specifically, what did they agree to, and how much does that agreement represent what you're asking for?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Everything is a negotiated agreement, but we were able to find some real key elements that we think will be impactful in the woods. And the very first thing is that Dogwood will join with International Paper to map the forests around their footprint here in the U.S. South, which means to study the conservation values across the woods, to understand where important forests are, and to make sure that International Paper is staying out of those important areas and that they are using their tremendous market leverage to increase protection for those special areas. So that's great. What that'll do is allow us to bring rigorous science into understanding where those values are across the South, and then we will work together to develop the processes in their supply chain to make sure that they're not sourcing from them. So that's the first point, which is great. And then we've also agreed to work with International Paper to develop new policies to help discourage the conversion of natural hardwood forests to monoculture pine plantations. And that's really important here in the South because our natural forests are incredibly diverse, and yet when they are converted to pine plantations, you lose, according to E.L. Wilson, about 98% of that diversity. And, of course, the reason they're converted to pine is because that species grows very, very fast in sort of a monoculture plantation. And so we are looking forward to use their market power to figure out good ways to help landowners keep natural forests intact across the landscape. So that's the second piece. And then we will be working with International Paper to help them develop their multi-million-dollar conservation initiative that's going to work with other partners across their footprint to invest in conservation measures that we hope will help leverage a lot of on-the-ground conservation across the woods. So it's nice to tie the largest user of wood in the area to some strong conservation initiatives, and we'll be working with them on that. So those are the big three.
Absolutely. Would you say it was the carrot or the stick approach that really got them to turn around?
Well, I think it's both. What happens is that what used to be crazy lunatic ideas that we needed to do a better job in the woods and consider the environmental attributes of what we're buying, well, that became mainstream. And now big paper users have to compete on their green position. Folks like Staples, Office Depot, and even the fast food companies are looking for paper that comes from well-managed forests. And the large forest products companies are responding. It's really the market strategy at work. There's this new demand, and the big, large companies need to respond. So I think it's sort of a two-faced Genuvian situation where they need us to get credibility, and they need us for markets, and they don't want us to attack their brand. So it's a little bit of both. You're right on.
I saw one of the quotes from someone at IP said that, you know, you, meaning Dogwood Alliance, loves the forest as much as we do, but of course in a different way. They see it probably, you know, as a manufacturing center, and you see it, as many environmentalists and really all consumers should, as a source, you know, for preserving nature, sucking up CO2, and especially, you know, particularly old growth forests and those that are, you know, endangered. So it's interesting that you can see it with different viewpoints, but clearly more must be done to preserve, as you say, not just trees, but the whole, you know, when you say monoculture, I assume you're talking about the process of replanting forests with the trees perhaps, but what gets, you know, washed away is everything on the forest floor.
Right, and the diversity of the tree species themselves, and I think something that is not always appreciated by everybody. You know, we hear a lot about the conservation values of the Global South, places like the Congo Basin and the Amazon and Indonesia, but really, one of the hotbeds for plant diversity and for vascular plants and for a lot of species is the U.S. South. And the forests here have world-class conservation values, like you were talking about, and it's important that the forest products industry change from its old exploitative posture to a new one that tries to do and does a better job in the woods. So this is sort of a harbinger of we hope, of the greening of the industry. And frankly, it's also good economics, because here in the United States, you can develop a product that is, you know, has the backing of stakeholders like Dogwood Alliance. It's got the backing of a scientific process that makes sure they're staying out of those important forests. And it helps them compete versus some other tough companies that are doing business in terrible ways around the world, like in Indonesia and the Congo and Brazil. And that's something that this industry should be able to deliver. So it's nice to be able to be on that tipping point, we hope, for folks to compete on their environmental values instead of just price and cost alone.
And since you cover this and pay attention so closely and carefully, I imagine worldwide, what is happening with our rainforest now? I've heard everything from, you know, they're being maintained to a much greater degree with, you know, global awareness, to, oh no, it's being, you know, plowed over faster than ever.
Well, you know, it's just amazing. You know, we live, unfortunately, in a very poor world. And the number one and number two drivers of deforestation across the world are for heating and cooking. And we're, of course, not in that situation here in the U.S. South, but I think protection of rainforests around the world are just intimately connected to people doing better, you know, and having the ability to live life in a better way. So that, you know, we hope is not an intractable problem, but that if that level of desperation still exists around the world. And then it's said that about 43% of all industrial logging is for the production of paper. So we know that paper is a big driver of bad forestry that's impacting forests around the world. And like you and I are talking about, we hope that we're making a difference. We know we're making a difference here in the U.S., and I know that our colleagues in the environmental movement are helping push things in the right direction globally, but we still have a huge problem. And it's a lot of places around the world, it's a more lawless environment, and we don't really know for sure just how bad it is or whether the horrible trends are continuing or not. But it's certainly, I think, there's growing recognition in the importance of those forests for things like you said, to buffer us from climate change, to preserve and protect all those great critical conservation values, and for those social issues that we've talked about as well. So a tough one. We're certainly not out of the woods, metaphorically, but I hope we are doing better.
It sounds like there's reason for some hope, but a lot more activism always. I've been covering this green beat for about 15 years, long enough to remember, you know, 5-10 years ago when I'd go into Office Depot or Staples and have to really search high and low, usually low, in the shelves, you know, to find that recycled content paper, post-consumer content paper. What's the status of most paper now? And I, when interviewing somebody in the paper industry, they said that people, consumers, assume that all paper is made with post-consumer content, and that at least a couple years ago that was not the case. So, you know, how much are people asking for it, and how prevalent is it?
Well, that's a really good question. I think that the office products companies are really competing on the green nature of their products, and it's no longer at the bottom shelf behind the sign, or you have to ask at the front desk.
Around the corner,
you know, those values
in the dark corner.
We care about that, and they're good marketers. They understand the value of having a green position. So I know that the office products retailers, like the ones you mentioned, are doing a much better job in providing that recycled content or that certified fiber content that says it's from a well-managed forest to consumers. You raise an interesting point because if you want to know some of the big issues about where our recycled fiber is going, we need to look to China. And it's an amazing fact, but one of our largest commodity exports is our old corrugated cartons that are sent back to China to be made back into new cartons for us to ship us the stuff that comes from overseas. So we should hopefully insource all that stuff and do a better job, not only for the environmental footprint, but for the economic benefit, you know, that could help us if we could figure out better ways to do that. And I think the market demand for green paper in Office Depot or Staples helps. But really, it's just a shame to be sending that stuff overseas. And we need to do a better job not only with those big sort of industrial recycling efforts, but, you know, the basic stuff in our houses and in our businesses. And there's plenty more to go. The industry says we're at about 67 or somewhere around that percent for recovered fiber. And that includes all those cartons that are going over to China. But, of course, we can look to Europe where they get around 80% of their fiber recovered. And if we got it up to there, I think that would certainly limit the impact on our forests. It would hopefully provide us with a lot of good economic stuff we could do to keep that in our economy. And, you know, I don't think anyone's ever felt threatened about recycling paper. People love it because it's something that we can do that really does have a meaningful connection to the natural world. And it's been very effective. We're making a lot of progress on that front.
I think many years ago there was the assumption that recycled content paper would get stuck in the printer, you know, it would jam more, that it was somehow kind of funky and bumpy, even though I never had that experience.
That's right. Well, it works just the same. And big companies are specifying recycled content. The federal government's got a standard that says they need over 30% post-consumer recycled content. Universities and other institutions have the same thing, and it works just great, and it helps take pressure off of our natural forests. And the climate and the water benefits are well documented. So you've hit on a good tool that the public can use, which is use recycled paper products.
You have a wise strategy adopted by many activist organizations, including Rainforest Action Network, and that's to go after the biggest suspects, the biggest culprits or companies is what I'm talking about. And that way it's not only, you know, some real impact, but also symbolic. Do you think other paper companies will take notice and follow in IP's, if not lead, grudging lead?
I think that this is a real turning point for the industry. And you're right, it's taken a lot of aggressive public campaigns showing the industry that people care, that you and I care, and, you know, basic people, consumers care, and that their large customers care. And that pressure is increasing, and it's not going away. So I think that no longer can they just deliver paper at all costs. They've got to have a good green story, and folks like Rainforest Alliance and Dogwood Alliance, Rainforest Action Network and Dogwood Alliance, they are becoming key partners. It's because we represent people who care, and companies are starting to see the value of that for their operations and for their brand.
Mm. Really happy to hear that consumers are speaking out in greater number. I've long believed that, you know, a key part of educating the American population is using mainstream mass media outlets to connect the dots in terms of our behavior, our choices, and the impact on our, you know, environment in so many ways. It is difficult to kind of educate and get the message out. So I'm glad it is leaking out there. I think there should be a lot more places, you know, in broadcast or commercial radio television where these things are discussed every day, not just, you know, on the Internet and not just on progressive outlets. Do you agree that there is a lot more information that could get out there along with a good dose of inspiration, really letting people
Absolutely.
Know what
to do? Absolutely. I think there's so many inspirational figures in the environmental movement today. You know, you can harken back to some of my heroes like David Brower and others, but there are people who are doing great work, who are educating people, and who are making a difference today. And one thing that you hinted at about our market campaign strategy is that we've developed the techniques to really focus the pressure in a constructive way that leverages corporate power to drive change. So the impulse of the 10 or 20 or 30,000 people who take action on one of our campaigns gets leverage when they connect to a company that buys tens of millions of dollars worth of paper every quarter, which ultimately gets this international paper at $25 or $26 billion a year to change. So you've hit on something. It's the ability of campaign organizations like Rainforest and Dogwood and others is really a great way to leverage people power. It's a new, you know, it's an exciting new way to do it.
And we need to do it not only in the consumer realm, but in the political realm, and let our representatives know that we do care about climate change. It's not a political issue. It's an urgent, practical matter, and, you know, make it so that it's, you know, socially unacceptable, politically unacceptable to not be dealing with our scientific realities beginning with climate change.
Absolutely right. I had that perspective when I was watching some recent campaigns, and you can see beginning efforts to try to focus that people power, but they don't do it the same way that the environmental community has done. It's obviously a different thought process, a different tug on our, you know, personal choices, but there's something the way these environmental campaigns are, and I love my job, and I think it's so compelling that people can make a difference, and I'd love to see that connection on an issue connected to action be involved, you know, be engaged in the political context. Something
that's
that
like
we need to figure out.
Like we're seeing with the whole gun control debate and immigration, you know, and it seems like, I've said this a few times before, but President Obama seems to be asking the movement to coalesce, you know, and make me do it is what he's actually said on climate change.
Yeah, we should make him do it.
We're trying.
That's a really good
were,
point.
You know, 40,000 activists in the middle of February on a very cold day in the nation's capital. That was encouraging to see those great numbers, and some of the networks actually covered it, you know, not more than 2 minutes worth, but hey, I guess that's progress.
Well, that's progress, and that's what's one of the things that our strategy's been able to harness is the power of the internet as a way to be a democratic leveler. And I hope that that gets, you know, rolled into the political contest as well. And you really hit on a good point. We're not there yet. Progressive folks, whether it's an environmental issue, a political issue, or a social justice issue, just we need to keep working at it to figure a better way to harness our power. And we're all frustrated, and we all hope we can do a better job.
Louder and faster.
Yeah, harder, louder, stronger, because we know people care.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a really important message. You know, there is power in our numbers and raising our voices, and it's, you know, it's almost like we have to wait through all the issues, you know, getting attention, health care, abortion, you know, gun control, immigration, all important, the economy, jobs. Yes, but Mother Nature can't wait forever.
Right. That's exactly right. We all have a lot of compassion. We all want to help make progress, and you know, it's a process, and that's one of the things I'm really proud about for Dogwood is we've really developed strategy with the leaders in the movement, and to see us be able to harness that market pressure, those market pressures, the famous ones of supply and demand, is great. And I don't know yet what the analogous thing will be in the political framework.
I saw some progress just this Earth Day last weekend. My community, Marin County, held, you know, the usual annual Earth Day celebration. But this year, instead of just, you know, talking about the nice green things we can do, which are all important, but we can't, you know, stop there. We have to start there with what we do in our homes and what we drive and all that, conservation at the consumer level. But they really took on climate change as an urgent issue. And I think that's what we need to see more of happening, that, you know, we don't just lip it, we live it. And every year around Earth Day and Earth Week and Earth Month, you do hear more. But it's got to go beyond the incremental, simple things we can do.
Yes, these are deep problems. These are, you know, foundational issues about how we live in the natural world. And they're not going away. They're
and it
just
is our
getting
home.
Harder.
Our
yeah.
only home. Well, I really appreciate all the great work you're doing. Maybe tell us about another campaign or two that you're doing at the Dogwood Alliance, because I'm sorry to say I had not heard of you guys before, but really pleased to know you're out there.
Well, thanks. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about our Carbon Canopy project. You know, the southern forests are owned by millions of individual landowners, and they're really stuck where the rubber meets the road. It's their decisions that make change. And unlike the West, where there's a lot of public land, there's just plain very little across the South. And the impact of our species across the land has been going along for hundreds of years. So we have sort of a solutions-based campaign to try to reverse the economic forces that really only get people paid for cutting down their trees into an effort to harness the California Global Warming Solutions Act to develop forest carbon offsets, to harness the value of carbon that grow in our forests as a way to help landowners do a good job of managing those forests. And it's interesting because it came out of as a result of our agreement with Staples, the office products company. They were looking to help support the movement towards responsible forestry, and we partnered together to launch its Carbon Canopy project as a way to harness those market forces to help landowners do the right thing and develop a new financial mechanism. And we think that just like market pressure has been good in the forest products industry, we hope that this market tool that California's brought about with their cap and trade system and the need in the system for forest-based carbon offsets, that we can help folks conserve their forests and turn them into carbon sinks, which society certainly needs. And also we all benefit from not only that, but the conservation values that are held up in those natural forests that are at threat across our landscape. So the idea is that instead of only getting paid to cut trees, they get paid to conserve and enhance the carbon stocks that naturally happen as you conserve older natural forests. And under the California Protocol, you can turn that into revenue as companies look to get enough allowances and offsets to meet the cap that's going to be cranking down under the California climate change legislation. So we see the potential to really harness that market force to get folks paid. And while it's not going to be sort of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, ultimately landowners are going to get a real choice. They can manage for carbon and responsibly manage forest products, and they no longer need to manage solely for forest products. And that's not here quite yet, but we're working with some good partners to try to build it. So I'm optimistic, and California has shown really great leadership in moving that climate solutions thing forward. And it's going to have benefits here in the forests of the South, so we think that's a good opportunity.
And I understand Dogwood Alliance focuses on the southeastern portion of the country's forests. Do you have counterparts in other parts of the nation?
Yeah, they're great forest activists all across the nation. You've mentioned the folks in San Francisco, Rainforest Action Network, and there's others further north in Bellingham, Washington, which you call Forest Ethics. And then where I cut my teeth, there's lots of Forest Watch organizations all over the place. And it's a great local opportunity for folks who love the woods to get out with local people, to understand the conservation values that are right out there, and to figure out effective ways to protect those values that you care about. So there's leaders, you know, globally like Greenpeace and WWF, the giant panda organization, Natural Resources Defense Council, and others. And, you know, while they may take sometimes slightly different approaches or have slightly different aims than Dogwood Alliance, it's fair to say that there are a lot of good folks working on this issue, and I just wish we could all do a better job and be even more effective, like you said. So local folks probably have a local issue that connects into the woods, and I really, really encourage them. That's how I got my start, and I've now become a lifer in the nonprofit environmental movement. I'm really proud of that.
A lifer, that's good. We need more lifers in the nonprofit environmental movement. We just have time for one more question, Andrew. Overall, are we using more or less paper? You know, we're supposed to be going to the paperless office some years ago. We're all on computers, and yet, you know, population continues to grow. What about paper consumption?
That's a great question. Paper consumption is flat. It's what's called a mature industry. But let me tell you what that mature industry does. That means there's about between 5 and 6 million acres clear cut in the U.S. South every year. So that mature industry really has a big impact, a really big impact on the woods here. And our region produces somewhere around 20% of all the forest products in the world. So while demand is not tanking, it's still an impactful sector. And it's interesting, things like newspaper, we all know that's being eclipsed by the digital world, but there's lots of packaging out there, and our packaging problem is not going to go away.
Director of Corporate Engagement, we're out of time. I'm really glad to learn that Dogwood Alliance is helping to get us out of the woods in terms of our consuming too many trees. So really, again, applaud you on your recent victory. Keep up the great work.
Thanks. I really enjoyed being on the show.
That does it for this edition of The Green Front. Have a great rest of Earth Week and Earth Month. We'll see you next Wednesday.